Scott Martin sitting in, chief market strategist at United Advisors, Fox News contributor, and all-around good guy. He's here with us today, sitting in. His row is off until Monday. He'll be back on Monday with us. But right now, we've got big problems to discuss with the Chicago Public Schools. The teachers, they held a big rally last night again. And let's bring everyone up to speed here, set the stage for where we are now. You've got the governor calling for bankrupting the schools and the state seizing control of the schools. That's what he wants. There is massive borrowing, more massive borrowing, $725 million more at a high interest rate to pay for existing needs. A rejected contract offer by teachers. You've got millions of cuts announced, layoffs looming, and teachers calling all of this an act of war. In the center of it all is this man, CPS CEO, Forrest Claypool, who I imagine is not getting a ton of sleep right now. Mr. Claypool, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Annie.
A lot going on as we just kind of set the stage there. The new thing that I thought was very interesting that you brought up, you were speaking on WTTW the other night, and you talked about how the funding for CPS relative to other school districts across the state is not equal. Talk about that.
That's right, and that's really at the core of our fiscal crisis. The state of Illinois provides 27% less in state education funding to Chicago than it does to all the other districts in the state on average. And that's despite the fact that 86% of our children are low income, according to the Illinois State Board of Education. That's an education system by any standard that cannot withstand scrutiny for long. And so I think it's increasingly important for people to understand that we have a two-tiered education funding system in Illinois, and it is separate but unequal. It is blatantly discriminatory against children in Chicago who are poor, who are minority, and who actually should be getting more funding, not less, because it's more expensive to educate children in poverty. But simple equality, mm-hmm. in this case, would mean we are 20% of state enrollment. Our taxpayers pay 20% of state income taxes, and both have been true for years. Yet we receive less than 15% of overall state funding. So if we simply had equality, not even more reflecting the poverty levels we have, that would be $500 million a year, enough to balance our budget this year and get us almost halfway to closing this $1.1 billion budget deficit that's threatening our classrooms right now.
Hey, Forrest, with regards to that percentage disparity, I mean, how is that justified in the legislature as far as, I mean, how can they possibly explain that when you
response?
Go and say, yeah, I mean, how could they possibly explain that?
They have been, part of it is there's not been an awareness of it because it's been masked. It's really a product of the fact that in the last two or three years, the state has been finally, after years of pension holidays, has been enforcing the pension mandate. And so suddenly, the school district here in Chicago in the last 2 years has had to take $1 billion out of its classrooms that it didn't have to do before. To pay those pensions, and $700 million this year. The state pays for the pensions and retirement benefits of teachers throughout the rest of the state, but not Chicago. And that's what's driving this inequality. And the debate is centered around the pensions. There's been a lot of finger-pointing, you know, the legislature allowed Mayor Daley to skip pension payments. Shame on you. There's been two pension systems for 100 years. That's always the way it's been. But none of that matters to a kid on the South Side who is trying to get an education and have a bright future. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change the fundamental fact, no matter who's to blame, that child is getting far fewer resources from the state of Illinois than children in the rest of the state on average, despite having being in the highest level of poverty in the state of Illinois.
Forrest, I just heard you use the phrase separate but unequal, or separate and unequal. That sounds like a legal way of saying it. And we've heard of Brown versus Board of Education. We know that these are kinds of things that have made it to the courts. Do you plan a lawsuit over this funding issue for CPS?
Well, I give you credit because you're the first person who has noted the importance of that phraseology. For students of history and Constitution, back in 1896 or somewhere about those parts, the United States Supreme Court said that it was okay to have racial segregation. It was okay to have separate schools divided separate by race, but as long as they were equal. As long as they were equal. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Brown versus the Board of Education overturned that. But the reason I use that phraseology is because we now have a separate system again, but it's unequal. It's not equal. And it's, that makes it, it's just blatantly discriminatory. And it's a system that cannot stand. And right now our classroom door, we literally have the threat of our classroom doors being closed. And we have a governor in Springfield defending this system. We with a political agenda, we have the legislature not acting. I mean, this, we need people to understand and wake up to the fact that this is real. This is a real crisis. We are out of borrowing options. We are out of cash. Our kids in our schools are threatened, and we have a number of problems, one of which is, and the biggest one is, that our state has this radically, radically discriminatory funding formula which cannot stand. And we don't have time. The governor thinks he's got all day. We don't. Our kids get one chance for an education, one chance, and we can't wait for Springfield to get over its dysfunction. We need them to act.
Do you, you know, the teachers rejected the latest contract offer that you and CPS offered them. Some say there was a matter of surprise because Karen Lewis really seemed to think that there could be something that could get passed, and the teachers overwhelmingly rejected it. Do you blame the teachers for that? Do you think they're not living in reality? Do you, is this going to just be a bitter pill to swallow no matter what way you look at it?
No, not at all. In fact, you know, I hope that rank and file teachers really get a chance to see what was on the table because they weren't given that option. I think obviously the leadership of CTU felt that it was a serious and significant offer and an agreement that we worked around the clock for 18 days to come to that they presented then to their 40-member big bargaining committee. That big bargaining committee blocked it, rejected it, so the rank and file doesn't get a chance to see it or vote on it. And so I think, you know, clearly we want to get back to the bargaining table and try to correct whatever issues they think are there, but it was incredibly disappointing because it was a generous offer. We felt provided a healthy pay raise for teachers despite asking them to contribute more towards their own pensions. It addressed a lot of classroom issues they've talked about for years. It restricted the growth of charter schools, all kinds of issues they asked us to address. So we were frankly very surprised by the rejection, especially at a time when we are literally out of money and out of options. It seemed to, particularly in that environment, the rejection was rather surprising.
Well, Forrest, on that note, I mean, you mentioned that you did come to the table with some of the things that were needed in that offer to the teachers. I mean, is that just a statement on the psychological damage or distrust that's out there between certainly CPS and the teachers and the state, you know, everybody that's involved in this whole problem? I mean, where do we go from here with that psychology in such a fragile state?
No, that's a great comment and a great question, because the commentary at the press conference by the big bargaining committee really didn't focus on the terms of the contract so much as it was a lack of trust, that we don't trust CPS to live up to its promises. And I understand the frustration. I understand that there's a lot of history at CPS and a lot of history between CPS and CTU. But we're all new here. I've been here 6 months. The board is brand new. We got a brand new team. We're trying our best to sincerely reach a deal that's in the best interest of our teachers and our kids. But we all, as the adults, we all have to put the kids first, though, and recognize that we're in extraordinary times here. So we need the teachers union to be our partner. We need it for two reasons. One, we need their help, obviously, to protect our teachers and their pensions and their jobs and be fair about it, but also to help us reduce the deficit before it's too late. And then we need the CTU to turn with us and be a partner with us in Springfield to put the heat on the legislature and the governor over this dramatic inequity, which we have to fix if we have any hope of getting out of this mess.
Mm-hmm. Forrest Claypool, thank you for joining us. I hope you guys do get it done for the sake of the kids, the sake of the teachers and everybody involved, and the taxpayers, by the way. So
thank you, Anna.
Good luck moving forward, and thank you for checking in here on WGN.
Thank you, Anna Scott. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.